Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Are you exhilarated after the weekend jam full of college basketball, or are you exhausted? I think a lot of it has to do with whether or not your team, if you have an alma mater or a team that you root for, is still alive. We've gone from 68 down to 16 in the last 5 days. It has been amazing to see this tournament unfold. This might be the single greatest prototype of any tournament in sports. But this year, if you knew nothing about March Madness, had never seen it before, and didn't understand the history of it, this year alone would be enough to suck you in for life. Because it has had every manner of twist and turn and upset and rally and heartbreak and heartache and buzzer beater and jaw-dropping, I can't believe what I just saw moments. So forget about your brassed bucket. I mean, I'm sure I'm not the only one who has a brassed bucket. Forget about your brassed bucket. As one of our listeners said, you mean the thing that's lining the bottom of my birdcage? Now, I mean, that may just be cliche. I don't know if he actually has a birdcage. But I am more than willing to sacrifice my bracket and my bragging rights for the kind of drama and history and entertainment, wild entertainment, crazy chaos that we've gotten to experience over the last several days. I'll raise my hand. I'm more than willing to sacrifice. And I hope the rest of you have enjoyed it too, as bad as your brassed bucket looks now. But there are still 16 teams. We haven't yet crowned a champion. We know it will be a new champion, though. Whew. It's not just that some of the top seeds went down. It's that they went down hard. We'll get to Virginia, the overall number one seed. But it wasn't much better for the defending national champ, North Carolina.
Starks, top of the key, a little crossover, step back three over Barry. Got it! Starks with a three at the top of the key. And it's 42-28 Texas A&M. Pinson will try a three with 2 seconds until halftime. No good. And Texas A&M ending the half on a high note. Here's Pinson up the middle of the floor. Step through, gets to the rim. Blocked by Morelos. Morelos, long pass ahead. Williams cherry picking. Windmill slam. Williams all alone at the other end with the windmill trying to blow Carolina out of Charlotte. 71-51, A&M by 20. What a stunner in North Carolina. The Aggies kick the heels off the road to the Final Four with an 86-65 win. The defending national champions are done, and the Texas A&M Aggies are on to the Sweet 16.
The great Kevin Kugler with the calls. I actually think it might be Kevin. He joined us in the first hour of the show from Charlotte. Not only did he call UNC's ouster, and you heard him say, as the defending champ, it happened in Charlotte, where the place is full of Tar Heels fans and Tar Heel blue. But he also got to call the UMBC thrashing of overall number one seed Virginia. If you missed that conversation, podcasted. It's a multi-syllabic word. Podcasted. You got to hear Kevin's perspective being on the sidelines for history.
On a high note.
I mean the kind of history that we may never see again. And he tells you why. So make sure you catch Kevin Kugler of Westwood One. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We will have a new champion. It will not be the overall number one seed. It won't be the fourth number one seed either, because Xavier, first time ever as a top seed, was one of the last teams to play on Sunday night, had a healthy double-figure lead midway through the second half, but it did not last. Man alive, if you're a Cincinnati area basketball fan, on this Monday morning, you may want to avoid sports radio and TV and the newspapers. I can only imagine what the Cincinnati Inquirer is going to do for headlines coming up on this Monday morning. Because Xavier had a 12-point lead over Florida State midway through the second half. And all of a sudden, the Seminoles caught fire and just ran Florida State off the court for a good portion of that game. And in the end, while it was a close affair, meaning the final score wouldn't tell you how devastating it was for Xavier, it still was painful to watch if you were Chris Mack, the head coach of Xavier, or if you're one of the veterans on that ball club. And so congratulations to the Florida State Seminoles taking out the one seed in the West. We still have Villanova and Kansas as the top seeds in the East and the Midwest, and we still have Duke and Purdue, the number two seeds in the Midwest and the East, though Purdue has lost one of its seven-footers, Eisen Haas. He broke his elbow, Isaac did, and was going to try to play against Butler on Sunday, except that the NCAA wouldn't allow him on the court with the brace. So he warmed up, he was dressed, but the NCAA nixed him playing with that brace on. So who knows if the Boilermakers will get him back. They do have another seven-footer. He's just not nearly as experienced. So it's been topsy-turvy. It's been a wild ride. I hope you've enjoyed it. We're taking that UMBC moment, that UMBC upset of Virginia on Friday night, and we're putting it in a category, in a class all by itself, because it had never happened before. This was the first time that UMBC, as a 16 seed, playing for all 16 seeds in the history of March Madness, had ever had the upper hand. We are all retrievers on Friday night. I hope you didn't go to bed. But I know a lot of people, I asked you, where were you when the unthinkable played out? Also in Charlotte, as I said, and Virginia as the top seed lost by 20. Where were you when we saw a piece of college basketball history that we've never seen before? And I love your tweets. You've been sending them to me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and also posting on our Facebook page. We're taking that moment and we're giving it top bill. Nothing compares to that in the tournament so far. But there have been some other pretty incredible rallies, some miracle shots, some buzzer beaters. Among those, which is your favorite? Which one stopped your heart? It happens. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. There have been a couple of teams in this tournament that have had to advance with a pair of miracles. They've had two unlikely finishes. Nevada certainly fits that bill. And we're big fans of Eric Musselman around here. He's a former NBA coach, of course, but has been with the Wolfpack for 3 years. He had the chance to leave and go to Cal, so he could have taken a job in the Pac-12. Probably would have boosted that conference in a big way. But he decided to stay at Nevada because he loves the campus. He loves being, you know, within 3 hours of his home in the Bay Area, so he can go back and watch. He's got a kid that plays basketball. Go back and watch, one of his kids play basketball. And he loves his bosses, and he's got a gift. He can recruit. He can sell that program. And the nation got a taste of Eric Musselman over the weekend. He's vocal. He's charismatic. He's energetic. He also did not have the V-chip working when the Wolfpack won their first game. And that was in overtime against Texas. And then they top it against Cincinnati, right? I mean, the way that they won against Texas was brilliant enough. The fact that they were able to force overtime and then had, and that was from 14 down, by the way. They forced overtime against the Longhorns by being 14 points down. Then in their second game against the two seed in the South, Cincinnati, they're down 22. Think about that. Nevada is down 14 in its first game, down 22 in the second half against the Bearcats. And somehow, with 11 minutes to go, the Wolfpack didn't even need overtime in this game. They rally from down 22 with 11 minutes to go. And it's the twins, who are transfers from NC State, Cody and Caleb Martin, They spark this rally. They feed off one another. Pretty amazing to see those guys work together. And it's an offensive rebound with 9 seconds to go. You know me, I think offensive rebounds are sexy. They are one of my favorite stats in all of sports, not just basketball. But I mean, how many miracles do you get? So Nevada makes the Sweet 16 and does it with a pair of unbelievable rallies. Down 14, down 22. And Eric Musselman, who had dropped a couple of F-bombs in the locker room after the first celebration, for whatever reason, the TV networks didn't catch it. They weren't on delay. And they never apologized, by the way. I kind of think they were just hoping nobody would notice. But it was pretty clear. So this time, the locker room mics are muted. The cameras are waiting for Coach Musselman to come into the locker room after doing his post-game interview on the court. So this time, instead of dropping F-bombs, he comes around the corner taking a shirt off and is whipping it in the air. Oh, this guy is a nut. We love him, though. We've had him on the show both times, Selection Sunday, as Nevada's made the tournament the last 2 years. So, yeah, I first thought the idea was to take off his shirt so it wouldn't get doused with champagne. And then he just took it into the huddle with him and was whipping it around. So I think he forgot to drop the shirt before he got into the champagne-filled huddle. It was absolutely awesome. So the Nevada Wolfpack, along with Loyola Chicago, who will be the Wolfpack's next opponent, have provided some pretty incredible moments. I wanted you to hear from Eric Musselman, too. We're hoping to get him on the show again. He's been really good to us. But listen to what he had to say after the Wolfpack made the Sweet 16.
That locker room right now, I've never seen anything like it in my life. It's the happiest I've ever seen. It's the happiest I've ever been in my life. I couldn't be more proud of a team. And every single player in there, this feeling's never going away the rest of any of our lives.
The happiest he's ever been in his life. You know what that reminded me of? And this is not a knock on Coach, because we love him here. In fact, I picked Nevada to go to the Sweet 16 simply because of Coach Musselman. But you know what it reminded me of? When Brock Osweiler returned to Denver and was like, this has got to be the top three most amazing moments of my life, the top three best moments of my life. Coach Musselman not only has a wife that, you know, and a little daughter, a little adorable daughter, but he's got two older kids as well. But somehow this was the happiest he's ever been in his life. He's awesome. Once he gets his voice back, you know, Nevada's been really good to us, so we hope to have Coach Muss on the show again. But yeah, congratulations to Nevada, who may be out of miracles, but may not be. And coming up, the Wolfpack will have to take on Loyola and Sister Jean. I don't know. If you had to choose between a team that's got Sister Jean and the other team that doesn't have its own direct lifeline to God, I don't know. So Sister Jean is, as she tells us, an international sensation. Loyola Chicago with yet another amazing finish. We'll get to that. Plus the Michigan buzzer beater, which is my personal favorite from the weekend outside of UMBC. Love to hear from you. Where were you when the Retrievers became a nationwide phenomenon on Friday night? You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Good Monday morning to you. I hope that you are exhilarated, not exhausted, and that your brassed bucket means nothing to you now. You're over it. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Here comes Loyola, a chance to win it. Towns into the front court. On the left wing, top to Ingram, three for the win. Good! He made it! He made it as the buzzer expires. The Loyola players storm off their bench. They're mobbing their teammate. What a shot to win it. 64-62 Loyola. And the Ramblers will move on. Towns will inbound at midcourt just to the left of us. Holds the basketball, gets it into Custer in the backcourt. Here he comes across the timeline, 8 seconds. Custer dribbling right. Custer stops, fires a 15-footer, bounces, and it goes! It went in! 3.6 seconds left. Schofield to inbound, into Bone, on the run, into the front court. Top of the key, three at the buzzer. No! And Loyola wins! The Ramblers win it! On to the Sweet 16!
Hello, friends. Jim Nance of CBS Sports. You're listening to After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
Thank you, Jim. Yeah, Nevada's not the only team with a couple of miracles pulled out to reach the Sweet 16. Loyola of Chicago, the Ramblers. Incredible ride for them as well. First tournament victory since 1985. And if you go back to their first night, which was Thursday night, they had the buzzer beater. Remember, Dante Ingram took the pass from Marcus Towns after Miami missed a free throw with 9 seconds to go. And then they followed that up with not quite a buzzer beater, but with a Clayton Custer jumper. And he gets a shooter's roll. And afterwards, he gives credit to God and to Sister Jean. I guess that's what happens when Sister Jean is your chaplain. She's 98. She's watching over you all the time. Sometimes will serve as a scout and a coach. And when you get two miracles, a second miracle in your second consecutive NCAA tournament game, maybe you start bowing to a higher power. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So we had joked about this going back to Thursday when Loyola got that buzzer beater from Dante Ingram. By the way, all of our tournament audio is on Westwood One. And I had teased you about what Sister Jean said, the deal that she made to get the Ramblers a tournament win. I'm not sure what kind of deal she made to get them to the Sweet 16, but she has, in her own words, turned into an international sensation.
We asked God to help us, and I told them, God, that we would do our part if he would do his part, and I hope the referees would call the right kind of a game, that nobody would get injured, that we play with confidence, and we know we'd win the game. And then at the end, when the buzzer rang, we wanted to be sure the score said we had the big W.
She is adorable. Sister Jean Dolores Schmidt, maybe, when it's all said and done, one of the stars of this year's NCAA tournament. On True TV, that's the interview that she did after Dante Ingram hit the buzzer beater to topple Miami on Thursday. And she still was the hottest interview on Saturday when Loyola Chicago did it again. So cute she is. She's 98 years old, and she's the chaplain as well as a part-time scout and coach, and was also there when the Ramblers won their 1963 NCAA championship. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. We get a bit of a breather now for the next few days. Thank heavens. I need it. I don't know if anybody else does. But March Madness will soon return Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So tune in all week to TBS, CBS, TNT, and True TV on the go with March Madness Live, or listen on Westwood One. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. The poll is up. We want to know, what's your other favorite moment, excluding UMBC? Because that one is in a category all by itself. So take that poll. We've given you a few options, or you can send us a tweet with your write-in vote. And you're also telling me, where were you when you saw one of the greatest upsets in college hoops history? Mark says on Facebook, I waited until 5 minutes to go and woke up my 12-year-old son so he could see history. This is cute. His last comment before he went back to sleep, Dad, you just lost one of your finals teams. And then he smiled and closed his eyes. That's my boy. Yeah, I feel like it's a sacrifice that we're just going to have to soldier up and make. If we get that kind of drama, history, for the first time in 136 matchups between a 1 and a 16, we finally saw the 16 come out victorious. And you know what? It wasn't close. It wasn't close. So here's the funny part. I mean, it's funny to me because I was awake, but a lot of you were asleep, and so you missed it. And I know this because you've admitted it to me, that you fell asleep or you went to bed believing that Virginia would essentially have a walkover. I highly doubt that's what Tony Bennett's kids were thinking, but it certainly did seem like that. The way they played in the second half, sluggish, lethargic, and honestly, couldn't you see them get nervous? They looked shell-shocked when UMBC started to drain threes and started to get on this roll where they put up 53 points in the second half. It looked like Virginia got punched in the mouth and never recovered. Like like all of a sudden got a glimpse of what it would feel like if Virginia became the first number one seed to lose to a 16 and just couldn't get out of their own heads. It was the worst game they've played all season by far. Maybe the worst game they've played in multiple seasons. And so you have the thrill of victory for the Retrievers, but also the agony of defeat for Tony Bennett's club, who was the overall number one seed. But that was happening late Friday night, so a lot of you went to bed. Late Thursday night, we're talking about the very last possession of the eight games. Did I say Thursday? I'm sorry, I meant Saturday. The very last possession of the eight games on Saturday. My mom went to bed. She thought the basketball was over. I know a lot of people did, you know, Sunday morning, whether it's church or you've got some other family stuff going on. This was after midnight Eastern. So a lot of people on the East Coast, even people in the Central time zone, probably went to bed before the Michigan game against
Eastern
Houston.
Time.
Before, thank you, voice God, just to clarify, before the Wolverines and the Cougars were done. This was just as heartbreaking for the Cougars, the way that it played out, because Houston was up two with 3.6 seconds to go and had a pair of free throws and missed them both. Ouch.
Wow.
If you make one of those free throws, you can't be beaten by a three at the other end, unless, of course, there's a foul. So Houston's up two with a pair of free throws. So essentially can put the game out of reach. 3.6 seconds to play, misses both free throws. And Michigan gets the rebound. And to set it all, I don't want to give anything else away if you didn't see it, but that's kind of the scenario to set up what was, the last possession on Saturday.
In the backcourt, Livers will inbound. There's no defense on it. 3.6 to go. Michigan down two. Livers gets the basketball. Looking. Throws it into Rockmont at midcourt. 2 seconds. Rockmont off the pool. Three for the win. He got it! Jordan Poole, the freshman, hits it at the buzzer, and Michigan is off to the Sweet 16. 64-63 is your final.
Unbelievable moment. Brandon God nailed it on the Westwood One radio network. So just to recap, the Wolverines inbound the length of the court. The second pass goes to a freshman who has not scored in the second half. He's not got the hot hand. He hasn't scored in the second half. Jordan Poole heaves the three from a couple of feet behind the line. Spread eagle. He literally goes spread eagle on this triple. It's hysterical. Kicks out his legs. Ball goes through the hoop. Nothing but net. 64-63 with the buzzer beater. So if you went to bed early on Friday or you went to bed early on Saturday, sorry. Basketball fans, pretty incredible to see some of these moments for Nevada, Loyola, Michigan. Obviously, Gonzaga's had a couple of rallies. Certainly, UMBC. And who cares about our brassed buckets? Andrew Bogish is here in studio. How does your brassed bucket look?
Worse than that.
Worse than brassed?
Yeah.
Worse than bucket.
Is double brassed a thing? Because that's what mine is. I mean, no joke, this is... I'm still waiting on confirmation from Elias, but this is the worst bracket that I've ever put together. I have, and I'm using the DA show bracket challenge as my marker post.
Mm-hmm.
I have, I think, the fifth fewest possible points of the entire group. Like, it's me, four other people, and then people who didn't actually make picks who can only have 0 points. My thing is a disaster.
Well, you picked Arizona to win. We know
no,
that.
No, I picked Arizona to lose to Michigan State in the final.
But, so, I mean, you had them going to the Final Four.
Them going to the title game. So I've lost two Final Four teams, both championship game teams, and my title contender.
Of course. Who was the rest of your Final Four?
Nova and Gonzaga. So I got
so
that going
move up
for me. Well, I can't. The thing is, in the DA competition, the loser of the show staff has to apparently eat a chip full of the spiciest salsa you can buy legally in America.
Legally? Is salsa illegal in some places?
I really don't want to have to do that. But right now, my only thing is I can't make any more mistakes. And I think I need Duke, who I had losing to Michigan State. I need them to lose to whomever they play now because I don't care
Syracuse.
Anymore. Syracuse.
Yes.
Which would then, I think, if my math is correct, drop Damon below me and make him.
He's close, though, huh?
Yeah, we are neck and neck. We are neck. I think I have a possible best score of like 71. His is 81.
Oh,
But that's where the difference lies, is that if he loses Duke, he misses out on a bunch of points because he has them in the Final Four. So I need that to happen, and I need Gonzaga and Nova to get there. If one of them loses before that, I might as well just eat the salsa right away.
I'll eat the salsa with you. I love salsa.
Apparently, this is dangerous.
What kind of Schofield units?
It'll clean out your sinuses.
They got it from a place when they were in the Super Bowl. Guys that actually listened to their show and said, this is the hottest we've ever been able to get in the store. You should take it. And it's made its way into this.
So you might actually go up into a flaming inferno right in front of us.
It's possible. However, there is a wild card where we pick the women's tournament as a like a tiebreaker slash wild card
thing.
Just
tell me you picked UConn.
So if I win that one, then I can get out of the salsa for losing on the men's side.
I mean, it sounds very complicated.
It is very. Oh, there's that's the
just to
the broad strokes.
To summarize, Andrew's bucket
in
is breasted.
Danger.
Yeah, I mean, it's double breasted.
It's embarrassing. I should almost be fired for my lack of college basketball guessing.
Okay, if you want to present that to the boss and see what he says,
they're not listening.
What are you talking about? This is the half hour when the boss listens.
I mean,
actually,
they listen, but do they listen?
To me, they do.
No, to anybody.
Probably not to you.
The things we've said that no one seems to catch us on.
That's true. We have fireable offenses in this half hour. All right, so Andrew stinks at picks. It's okay. We all stink. We have brassed buckets.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast. You're listening to After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Jerome driving inside. Some contact. They're going to give him continuation. Count the bucket and the foul. Three, up and down. Lyles waving to the UMBC crowd. Drains the three. Jairus Lyles at the top. He'll attack guy. Drives all the way to the rim. Lays it in. Jairus Lyles is unstoppable. He's got 18. Grant driving into the rim. Floats it over the front of the rim and in. Jordan Grant's got five. UMBC by 14. Three for Lamar. Got it. Going to run out. The ultimate upset has happened. A 16 has beaten a 1.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Oh my gosh. I still get chills hearing the calls from Kevin Kugler, and I've heard them numerous times. Kevin joined us from Charlotte during the first hour of our show, and his perspective about one of the most incredible upsets in college basketball history was awesome. I hope that you will check it out. He's actually got some fun stuff that he found out specifically from the UMBC Retrievers and their fans that I didn't know. So I'm not going to spoil it. I hope that you'll check it out. But Kevin was a lot of fun and a game to join us from Charlotte, where he saw not just Virginia go down and called it for Westwood One, but UNC. Maybe it's him. He's got the Omaha region coming up this weekend, which features Duke and Syracuse, and he'll have Kansas State and Kentucky. And so you've got in the South region, Kentucky as the highest remaining seed at 5. So it's a good thing, actually, that in Coach Calipari's words, the committee disrespected the Wildcats and made them a 5 seed, because the top 4 in the South region are all sayonara. So Kentucky is the high remaining seed. That's never happened before in college basketball history, that the highest remaining seed was a 5 when they got to the Sweet 16. But the South has 5, 7, 9, and 11 left. That would be where your brassed was most bucketed. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227. Brought to you by Geico with some good news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on your car insurance. 855-212-4227. Ollie is listening in Arizona. Ollie, welcome to After Hours.
Hey, how's it going, Amy?
Good.
I just wanted to let you know where I was when I watched Virginia lose to UMBC.
Okay.
I was actually at the local comedy club in Tucson, Arizona, because I do stand-up comedy. So I was watching the game, then I went on stage shortly afterward, and I had to let the crowd know that Virginia had lost, because everyone's Arizona fans here, so everyone's bummed out.
Right.
So I had to assure them they didn't have the most shocking loss, and I said, it's kind of like Virginia saw that game, and they're like, oh, you think that's bad? Wait a second. Hold my beer.
Uh-huh. No doubt. And so here's the thing, though, Ollie. When you delivered the news, were people more relieved that Arizona was no longer the headline, or upset because their brackets just got thrown out the window?
They were cheering. They don't care. They're
okay,
just
good.
Happy that Arizona didn't have like the most shocking outing.
Yeah, seriously. It's all of a sudden the Sean Miller Arizona shocking loss was nowhere to be found after UVA on Friday.
Exactly.
Look at you. Don't shoot the messenger. I would have started with that, actually.
Yeah.
Thanks so much, Ollie.
Yeah, thank you.
True. In Tucson, which is the home of the University of Arizona, you can imagine they were probably looking for some comedic relief on Friday night, right? So Thursday night is when Arizona lost to Buffalo. No doubt they were looking for anything to take their minds off of the Wildcats bowing out in the first round and really the way that it happened and all of the speculation about Sean Miller. So they end up at a comedy club and Ollie is the one who has to break the news about Virginia, but I'm sure they cheered because all of a sudden they're not the worst upset in the tournament anymore. Misery loves company, baby. Loves company. Speaking of misery, After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for all of your tweets. Absolutely just awesome fun to hear where you were and what you were doing when this amazing 16 over a one happened. I get lots of these types of tweets. Mike says, I was in bed watching on my phone. Baby and wife are sleeping in the same room, so presumably you can't make any noise. That's awesome. Joe says, I was at work for history. I'm exhausted because I work weekends overnights, but he always listens to us every night. That's really cool. Yeah, if you were working, we've had a bunch of bartenders who've replied and said the whole place went nutso, even though the brackets were completely blown to smithereens there. So that's cool. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and then our Facebook page, too. Still, I'm not sure anybody's beaten David yet, who, unfortunately for him, had stopped because he had a tire go flat. So he stopped on the road somewhere because he had a tire go flat. And while he was looking at the tire and he was angry, he locked his keys in the car and then had to stand outside with a flat tire and wait for help to get there. Well, that kind of sucks. I guess a Virginia loss would maybe take your mind off of it. But let's talk to Mike, who's in Myrtle Beach. Mike, welcome to After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
Good morning, Amy. It's been a long time. I've been listening. I just haven't talked to you since Nick Foles took over the Eagles. Oh. Remainder of that season.
Okay.
How you been?
I'm good.
Has anybody checked the enrollment numbers for UMBC in comparison to Virginia? I'm sure Virginia's got like 40,000 students, and I couldn't figure out who UMBC was. I had to look it up.
Oh, come on. University Did of... you? Okay.
Yeah, I had no clue. I had no clue.
Maybe I'm different because I worked in the America East is that conference, and I worked in the America East for 8 years, and so I did games at UMBC every year, and so maybe I am different that I knew who they were. In fact, their women's program was really good for a couple of years, and so they were a team that was heading to the NCAA tournament. But yeah, here's the crazy thing about UMBC. They weren't even close to being the best team in the conference. They lost to Albany by 50 during the regular season. 50! And then in addition, Vermont, who they played in the championship game of the conference, had beaten them by 40 during the regular season, except that the Retrievers had a buzzer beater to stun Vermont. Vermont was the best team in the conference. Stun Vermont, knock them out, get the automatic bid. So they got in with a series of heroics and turned their season completely around. Yeah, that was amazing.
Well, I think it's great for the sport. Now, what's your take on the University of Women, the UConn, going up against St. Francis? Now, from what I gather, Geno did not play his starters in the fourth quarter. I mean, that just, it can happen. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying?
What's your question? What's my take on Geno not playing his starters in the fourth quarter?
Yeah, it seems like in some of the media, some of the guys are trying to, you know, well, they're talking bad about it. I mean, you know, it doesn't seem to me that it happened. It can happen. You know, I mean, UConn didn't play their starters in the fourth quarter. And St. Francis tried to play a game that, you know, they just weren't going to – it wasn't going to work out since they were missing
their
shots.
Okay, so Mike, pause for a second. Is the problem that Geno didn't play his starters or the problem that it was such a huge blowout? What are people complaining about?
They're, you know, the running up of the score and when do you call the dogs off and so forth.
He did. He did call the dogs off, so to speak. And in this case, they are Huskies, so I guess we can say that. But to not play your starters in the fourth quarter – I mean, that is him saying we're not going to run up the score, but it's not Geno's fault if his second string and his third string are still playing better than St. Francis. Doesn't mean they'd beat him every time, but you can't put kids out there who hardly ever get a chance to play or who maybe have never experienced the tournament and tell them to play half speed. That's how people get hurt, number one. Number two, it's not fair to those kids who've worked really hard all year to be part of that program. It's not fair to tell them to not go out there and play their absolute best.
I agree.
All right, cool. Thanks, Mike. I appreciate your phone call.
Hi, young lady. We'll talk to you later.
All right. To answer your question, in case you are wondering, UMBC is not a small school necessarily. It is University of Maryland, Baltimore County. And I was teasing Mike, but there are actually a lot of people who didn't know what UMBC stood for before this weekend. Their enrollment is 13,600. Again, Baltimore County. So it's, you know, it's in the D.C. Baltimore area. And then UVA is 22,300. Out of Charlottesville, and my niece, I guess to console herself, she's a student at UVA. She was doing snap videos about how depressed their apartment was after that game. My family bracket challenge, 80% of our family members participating picked Virginia. So for that reason, I'm still very much in the running because I did not.
Oh, yuck.
Mom said to me right after that, oh, well, there goes my bracket. I was like, yes, Mom, good to get into the spirit of things.
Horrible.
It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. So is your bracket busted or is it a brasted bucket? Either one works for me on Twitter or on Facebook. Some of the other, I think, pretty cool moments, or if you're opposite side of the coin, the moments that were really painful. Clemson dominated Auburn. Auburn missed at one point about 20 shots in a row. I lost count at that point, but they had 19 points on the board at halftime, and Clemson just played extremely well. Duke has looked pretty good in its games so far, beating Iona and then taking out Rhode Island, and now has to play Syracuse, which, you know, you say what you want about the 2-3 matchup zone, the Syracuse offense, the inability to rebound, all of those things can be accurate. But if you haven't seen that 2-3 zone, Duke has a little more experience. Not only do they play a zone, but they have seen the zone a couple of times in the recent past. And so it's not completely unfamiliar, but it certainly does stunt your offense. That'll be an interesting matchup to look forward to in the Sweet 16. Syracuse ends up taking out Michigan State. And I'm, you know, offensively set basketball back about 50 years. Here's the stat that blew me away. The Spartans had 29 offensive rebounds and still lost. I couldn't take advantage of all those extra opportunities. So, yeah, lots of stuff to pick apart from the first, I guess, 6 days of the NCAA tournament. But the last four were absolutely awesome. I think I'm still shell-shocked from the long days, the long nights, the maybe just Eric Musselman dancing without a shirt on in the locker room. That was enough. And Sister Jean, she's an international sensation. We're inside the Quicken Loan Studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. You can always find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. We're back Monday night. We'll do some other stuff. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.